listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Imagine you went to this breakfast diner and you go every day and you eat a lot. And there's a guy you see and you start that relationship. And Fez, this happens in Vegas a lot, poker rooms. You see him every day, but you don't talk to him ever. So now you start nodding at each other, though you've never spoken. And then eventually you're next to each other in line and you start talking and then maybe a relationship develops. So Brad, a guy sidles up to you and he says, I hear you're with RJ Bell and that you're famous. And you go, yeah. Well, you know, I'm not a sports fan, but I'm going on a date with a girl who is tonight. What's the one thing I should tell her that's happened so far in this tournament?
Wow. A loaded question. I mean, we could go recency bias and say, hey, the favorites had a monster second round. First time it's ever happened before that all.
All right. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Everyone's heard the stat, but be very specific with it.
Yeah. So for the first time ever, all 16 favorites.
Now, that's what I'm confused by. Are we defining that as the better seed or the Vegas favorite?
Vegas favorite.
Ah.
Yeah. Vegas favorite.
Now, was there any better seeds that were underdogs? In that round of 32?
Auburn. Auburn was a five that was laying to a four.
Okay, so this is great. Now, so the seeding committee, zero, Vegas one.
Correct.
Yeah, and this is just since the tournament RJ expanded to 64 teams in 1985. First time the betting favorites went 16-0 straight up in the round of 32.
Okay, betting favorite 16-0 straight up in the round of 32. And there's been three other years it was 15-1, right?
Three other years it was 15-1, yeah.
All right. So we can, you know, last game, whatever, whatever. Duke could have lost, whatever, whatever. But we're saying like four times in almost 40 years, something like this is going to happen. Now here's the paradox. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. Colin does when Colin was right, when Colin was wrong. There's nothing, I tweeted out actually, maybe saying it the second time is too much, but I tweeted out at halftime of the Virginia first game, I said, my biggest bet of the week was Virginia first half. But you know something? I got as many positive responses, you know, a variation of, it happens, at least you're being honest. Listen, when we pound our fist and we're wrong, and we don't talk about it, we lose trust. So we spent a lot of time last week talking about parity. Oh my gosh, this big Power Five school is only a 3-point favorite. Were we off on something? Or is somehow 16-0 in the favorites not contradictory with parity?
Another great question, RJ. You know, I think we slightly overreacted because what did we see first rounds? We saw a lot of short spreads to begin with. Money coming in on the dogs, and then we had that affirmation.
So think about that. Short spreads to begin with, and the professional saying, give me some of that, and they got shorter. So that's saying we love as the opening numbers and the bettors themselves, the marketplace, love the dog. So you've just restated my question and raise the stakes to say, boy, did we think this was a year of parity.
Yeah, and on top of that, when we did the Thursday show, came on straight out of Vegas, at that point, the underdog started the tournament 6-0 against the number, so short spreads.
And we spent a lot of time talking about that.
We did. I still think there's parity. I mean, don't believe me? Look at some of these numbers. Kentucky laying 2.5 to Houston. That doesn't sound, you know, great.
But hold on a second. We're looking backwards, trying to make a case about something that's just happened. Well, I'm sorry. We're looking forward saying, well, but look, the lines are still short. That means whatever mistake that was made maybe is being made again. Fez, what's your gut instinct?
You know, I think shouldn't be hard on ourselves in terms of the parity, because not only did we say there was parity.
Well, Fez, we know you're not hard. That's what my job is, to be hard on you.
Well, we also said that there's a clear cut, big separation between the one seeds, the two seeds, and everybody else. So we are not surprised at all that the one and the two seeds all survived. And I think
all right, so that gets you to 8-0.
Fair enough.
And all right, now there's eight more games.
Right. And we broke down the four seeds nicely where we said, hey, there's two 4 seeds we think are primed to get knocked out of there, the Kansas schools, Kansas and Kansas State, and they're the two 4s that are gone.
And listen, let's just get this out of the way right now. And sometimes it really is just about facts. You can use adjectives, you can be silver-tongued, but sometimes you just let the facts speak for themselves. We did a bracket, made it available. It was, what was it? It was my decade plus of bracket picking rules, which I give out for free. And then it was the expertise of the pregame.com team, collective IQ. I'll be honest, I haven't followed every game. I have a general sense we've done all right. We ended up submitting the bracket, and I'll tweet out a screenshot of it after the show. We submitted a bracket at the big ESPN deal. Producer Mackie, just give us factually where our bracket is.
We are in the 98.9 percentile.
Okay. That sounds about right. Guys, I'm being very sarcastic. 99%. So no one's going to doubt we, Brad Power, Steve Fezzik, RJ, even Jonas, let's say, pregame.com, Fox Sports Radio. Hey, we know what we're talking about. Some of us more than others, but we know what we're talking about. But we also talked about parity. So you're right. We did personally see some weaknesses on some teams, and we were right. But I think the 1 and 2 maybe is doing so well, and us thinking they were so much better, combined with the fact that, hey, there's only 16 teams there in the Sweet 16, that maybe it was just the 3 and 4s, and not that every 3 and 4 advanced. I don't know. Or maybe it's just a handful of games, and it's like flipping coins. Because to me, I want to find trends that next year we come in saying, remember all the time we spent on the radio trying to figure out why there's seemingly so much parity in college basketball? Well, the rest of that tournament helped enlighten us, and now we have even more knowledge for the 2020 tournament.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Special treat out of Boston. And you want to talk about a ferocious radio market. I mean, the local guys in Boston, Mark Bertrand, I've been doing their show on the Sports Handle, him and his crew, and it's been such a pleasure, such passion from the fans. How you doing, Mark?
Cutthroat here, RJ. What can we say?
It's cutthroat, say it one more time for us.
I said it's cutthroat here. What can I say?
Oh, and when we were on Radio Row, to show you how big time this dude is, it's like, all right, RJ, we can get you in on whatever day. And literally the guest before me was Jenny McCarthy. So, yeah. And yeah. I got to be honest with you, I watched that interview on Radio Row. Mark was much more interested than he was in my interview. I mean, at least eye contact-wise. Is that fair to say?
RJ, you're a handsome guy, but you really can't hold a candle to Jenny McCarthy. I mean,
I tend to agree with you. All right, Mark. So I'm going to ask you questions, but I'm going to clarify who I mean you to answer for.
Okay.
Meaning it could be you, the Patriots insider, or you, the guy who understands the Boston fans. Because sometimes I want to hear what the fans think, but sometimes I want to hear what you think. Let's start with Gronk. If you look across his career from a fan's perspective, how much love is there for Gronk in New England?
In terms of the love for him, it's up there with really some of the biggest names in the history of Boston sports. I mean, he rivals David Ortiz. He rivals Bobby Orr. I mean, he rivals Tom Brady.
Jeez.
Even. I mean, he's in that class. He is. We were talking today, and we even had some callers who brought up, do you think he's the second best Patriot ever behind Tom Brady? And, I mean, I think it's a worthy discussion and debate. But
John Hanna.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Hall of Famers. They've got guys that are in Canton already, but there is obviously enough love for him. And I think it goes beyond just how good he was at his peak. I think, you know, he has this personality in addition to being a great football player that made him really easy to like and really easy to root for. So he's up there with all-time Boston greats in terms of how much love people have for this guy.
And plus, his favorite number 69. So, I mean, that's the kind of guy that gets...
That will never change for that guy.
That gets love. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, talking to Mark Bertrand, Boston Radio. So, the other station is WEIIFF. I can't remember the name of it. How do you guys do in the ratings at the Sports Handle?
Sports Hub, RJ. Come on now. You should know this by now. Sports Hub.
Let's be honest. I'm the talent when I'm on your show. So make it easy on me, buddy.
Yeah, we do well. We do well. But what I think this market has proven is that even though we do well and we're finishing first and they're behind us, it's still competitive. And it's a market that can support two radio stations.
Okay. You know, actually, when I asked that question, for some reason it was in my head that you guys were crushing them, so I was giving you a softball,
but
you're winning.
I try to be humble, RJ. I try to be humble.
It's the wrong show to be humble on, Mark.
I would say. I would say that even in the times, there have been times or there have been certain time slots that have crushed them for periods of time. But overall, if you were to look at their numbers and you compare them to other sports markets, other sports radio stations across the country and what they do for numbers, you would say, wow, even if WEEI is second, that's still a great number that they're doing if you put them in, 25 other markets. So I think that it's been proven over the last decade. We've almost been on 10 years, so it'll be 10 years this summer. And I just think that we've proven that this market can handle two sports radio stations. I think there's enough people. I think we sort of skew younger in the demo. They skew older in the demo.
That's what
so
I
we're
hear.
Kind of
so,
serving
so
two
Mark,
different audiences,
let me,
that type of thing.
Let me jump in here, Mark, real quick. And there are like three or four more topics left, and we've got like three or four more minutes. And I know you're very, listen, Mark's very long-winded. It's just his nature. Let's be succinct on these babies so we can get to them.
All right, let's do it.
Is Steve Fezzik, only two-time Super Contest champions right beside me, he started talking about Tom Brady's age literally like 5 years ago. We've got archival podcast footage of him talking about Brady getting old. Obviously, Father Time's undefeated. From an insider's perspective, many people felt like Brady last year, the film guys, had a significant drop-off. What is your insider sense of the Brady we'll get next year?
Okay, my insider sense is that there hasn't been a significant drop-off. There may have been a drop-off, but it wasn't severe enough that would put him in a position that is really impacted the team and their ability to win. And I think we saw that in January. So, yeah, there may be some drop-offs. I mean, Father Time is undefeated. That's just the truth. So it's going to happen eventually. I don't think he's at a point where you have to really worry about
But next year is not the year.
No, I don't think next year is the year. And I think the other part of it was this year, he didn't put in all the work in the preseason that he had done all those other years. He didn't go to OTAs. He missed mini camp. And this year, I think we're going to see him at both of those things. So I think he might, and by the way, his contract situation, we could talk about that quite a bit, but that's got to get resolved. And if it does, assuming it does, I think he's fully committed more so than he was a year ago when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, plus I heard last year he had a cup of vanilla ice cream at one point. In April, so
which is living on the edge for him, man. That is dangerous stuff.
All right, we got Mark Bertrand, Boston Radio. What's your Twitter handle, buddy?
At @Mark_Bertrand, but Mark is with a C, not with a K.
So Mark is with a C, and Bertrand is, correct me if I'm wrong here, Bertrand.
You got it.
All right, last question. And these guys, I tell you, they've affected their show. Has affected me on the radio because to me, they are so loose. It's like these guys do, I guess you do 4 hours. How many hours do you do?
4 hours a day. 10 to 2.
Yeah, so you got to be loose if you're doing 4 hours.
Yeah.
But they have that great Letterman-esque feel that when it's time to be serious, they're serious. And when it's time to have fun, they have fun. And it kind of made me think about my style a little bit. All right, last question. The owner, Kraft, obviously, he's been in the news. Now, I want this from a fan's perspective. What's the takeaway?
All right. The fan perspective is that it's no big deal. It's not a problem. You know, it could have been a lot worse. He didn't do anything that was bad. That, I mean, that's the fan perspective. I think I think that will continue to be the perspective. He's going to get fans to defend him because he's meant so much to the football team and to this region. You want my perspective? Can I throw that in there?
Yes, because this will tell you a lot about you.
Wrap the thing up. I mean, get this over with. Get it over with.
No pun intended. Wrap it up.
No. I mean, that's somewhat pun intended, which is get it over with and get this case over with and put it behind you. He put a statement out over the weekend apologizing, but not saying what he apologized for, and then also said, judge me by my actions and not by my words, and if we take that and do as he says, well, then I will judge him by his actions, which is he's currently fighting it tooth and nail in court to get off on the charges. So I would say if we're going to continue to judge him on that, it's not a good look right now. Just get it over with, say you're sorry for real, and move on.
Mark Bertrand, the Sports Hub, is the station. And really one of the nice guys in the business. Hey, Mark, we'll be calling on you when the Patriots are at the top of the news.
You know where to find me, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Take it easy.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Guys, we are down to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, but we're going to focus on the three biggest upgrades and downgrades so far in the tourney.
All right, so Brad, this is simple. What did you think of them 5 days ago? What do you think of them now? What's been the biggest change?
Oregon, upgrade. I love the Ducks before the tournament. I love them even more now. This is an Oregon team.
So what have you learned in this interim time?
Well, you know, Oregon was facing Pac-12 competition. We thought at least coming in the Pac-12 was a weak conference. Pac-12 did all right so far. Washington got a win in the tournament. Arizona State got a win in the tournament. The question was, how would Oregon do against other competition, like a good Wisconsin team from the
Big
Ten?
So this is just the basic concept that if you undervalue or overvalue a conference, it tends to affect every team in that conference because they play so many games against each other.
Yep.
RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas, biggest upgrades and downgrades in the tournament. Now give me number two, same question. What's changed?
Tennessee, downgrade. What's changed for the Volunteers? This is a team that's maddeningly inconsistent. Tennessee was favored by 17 in the opener against Colgate. Looked good first half. Tennessee's up 15. They have to struggle, Tennessee, to win that game against Colgate outright. Same things happens for Tennessee in the second round. Tennessee's about an 8-point favorite over Iowa. Look now, first half, Tennessee's up 21, and still Tennessee has to win in overtime. I don't like the consistency of this Tennessee team.
Now, Fez, you and Brad have a bet that involves Tennessee. Succinctly tell us about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have a last longer. I've got Tennessee, and Brad has Virginia. And
you're not feeling too good, are you?
Especially with Tennessee's best player, Schofield, saying he didn't want to play the overtime. He took himself out of the game, had no confidence.
You know what's interesting, if you guys could see it, is just as the years have gone by, the dynamic between Brad and Fez, where it's just such, in one way Brad's trying to learn, like a teacher mentor kind of thing, but then in the other way he has it in his contract whenever Fez is mentioned in him that I have to play this.
He was the baddest cat around until I showed up.
So it's almost a Game of Thrones kind of thing. All right, last team.
Auburn, upgrade for the Tigers, a team that's been playing by far their best basketball this season. Another question, playing SEC competition. Now we've seen an Auburn team go out and absolutely hammer Kansas in the second round. Big upgrade for Auburn.
Guys, the most talked about team in the tourney are the Duke Blue Devils. Favorites coming in, where are Duke's odds right now?
So usually when you win two games in the tournament, your chances of winning the national championship should go up.
Yeah, let's think about this. You got to win six and then... you got to win four. That sounds easier.
Yeah, it does. But yet Duke has gone from being a plus 250 favorite, $100 win you 250 to win the title. Now Duke, after two wins, 3-1, RJ. Odds went down.
And Brad, who put up five dimes fading Duke, is feeling pretty good.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.